Welcome back to Weekend Breakfast. Alison Curtis with you today, FM. As promised, Stars of the Overlap. They're going to be coming to the Three Arena on the 25th of March, so it's fast approaching. And the Ringmaster, Kelly, is that okay to call you that? Kelly Gates joins me.
Right. I would absolutely love that. If I had that degree of control, then that would be amazing.
So, I mean, this is within your field of comfort, as in we're talking about football. But as a live show, will you tell us everyone that's involved and maybe a little bit about what people can expect? Because it is different.
Yeah, so Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher and Wayne Rooney. And it is, there'll be a little bit of topical chat. Well, we'll talk about everything that's kind of going on in the world of football. And there's a lot to talk about. We'll have, you know, got to the other side of some of the big European ties as well by then. And there'll be big qualifiers coming up in terms of like trying to get to the World Cup. So there'll be lots of that to talk about. But we'll also just get the guys telling their stories and get them to kind of, because in that live environment, they can maybe be a little bit more relaxed, certainly than they would be on television.
Yeah.
And certainly than they would be on like broadcast radio, maybe more of their podcast personalities. But again, even more relaxed than that. So it's good fun. And I get to spend time with them in the way that I do when they're off camera, which is really lovely.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that's the appeal for a lot of people with podcasts and deciding to take them out in front of live audiences, is we see that it's a formula that works really well. And I think it does elevate what you're doing when you're in front of a live audience.
Yeah, it definitely does. And you get that energy from the room. And we've been in Dublin before. And it's just great because everybody's so invested. And everybody, well, Roy Keane was with us last time. So that he just took over everything. It was the Roy Keane show. But it's great because you kind of get that real-time reaction. And then you'd feed into that. And it's that whole... If you heard that expression, collective effervescence, which was going around a lot around the Taylor Swift gigs that were taking place last year. And it's just this idea of the shared experience and that sort of collective energy. And I love it. I love the idea of that because often what we do is it feels a step removed. And even though like I work in radio as well, and I think radio is probably the most intimate of the kind of audience and presenter relationships, but it doesn't have the immediacy of kind of a live event. And that's what's lovely about it.
Kelly, will you give me one second? I'm just going to shut a door because it's making a creaking sound. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, no worries. No, that's all good.
If it's not the dog, it's the door. Yeah. That's the problem with being at home.
So, well, you know, I was reading the new Paul McCartney book, you know, the Wings Man on the Run book that they've made the documentary about. And I was reading that, and in The Lovely Linda, in one of the songs on the album, it's got a creaking door in it. You can hear their back door. So you are just like Paul McCartney, so that's fine.
It's totally fine. Do you know what? I'm fascinated about you, Kelly, in many ways, but particularly as, you know, women that are in media, you did take a step back. And then, as we know, there seems to be this a view that as we age, we lose value as opposed to gaining value. And you came back in such a force. Like, I'm sure that was a challenging time for you, if not obviously a rewarding time as well.
Yeah, I think it didn't really occur to me to be nervous when I stepped back. And I was still working. I still kept my hand in. And it was maybe only a day a week when the girls were very small. And I was really lucky that I was able to do that. But I think just being in and around the industry really helped when I decided I could take on more. And as the girls have got older, then I'm like, that's great. And so it's just not taking yourself away completely, I think. And I'm aware that not everybody can do that. You're either in or you're out. And very few people now can kind of go part-time or pick their hours or have flexible working. And all those things kind of contribute to that. And that's how I sort of managed my way through it, was not take too much on when they were small.
Yeah.
Be around as much as possible and still have those moments where I was leaving and going out and the door going, I can't believe you have to go to work again. And I was like, it is literally once a week. I'm fine. It's kind of, we're all good with this. But yeah. And then when there was a bit more room, when there was a bit more space to take more stuff on, I still had those connections. I wasn't coming in completely cold.
Yeah. And I feel like your daughters are, mine is going to be 15 in May. Are they?
Yeah. So one's 15 in June and 17. My daughter's out. Yeah. So 14 and 17.
let's be honest here, it's not the easiest phase, is it?
It's not, but I love it. Like, I genuinely, yeah. I know I don't want to be sort of all Pollyanna-ish about it. I've found other phases more difficult. I found that age of, I think just before they go to secondary school, you know, they reach all those ages where they feel like they're sort of chafing at the bit and they can't wait to move on to the next stage. And they do it as toddlers I think they do it just before they're toddlers. So they're those phases where they can't quite walk and talk, but they want to.
Yes.
And they want to do everything themselves. And then, yeah. And then I think when they're just about ready for school, but they're not quite there yet. And then again, when they're just ready to move on to secondary school. And now again, it's that same thing. It's they're ready to go and, especially my 17-year-old, to go and live their own lives.
Yeah.
So they're kind of pushing against you again there. And I think they're all the kind of pinch points where you're like, oh my God, how do we get through this bit together and kind of come out and still talk to each other at the end of it? Because I just remember that look at 11 when they were told 10, 11, and suddenly the look comes in. You know, when they just look at you like you're an absolute idiot. And there's this really challenging, dismissive, like kind of just horrible look at you. And you're just like, where the hell has that come from? And then it's, yeah. And then you get through it and they come back again and then they go again and then they come back again.
I do think it's a fun age in the sense that your conversations are good. Like my daughter and I were out in a shop one time and I was like, oh my God, like this lighting is so harsh. It makes me look really old and wrinkly. And she just turns around and goes, that's not the lighting.
But they do that. They can be so scathing and so kind of dismissive. And then at the other time, because I think girls now are so good and in a way that we maybe weren't and when we were younger, they're so good at being little kind of hype women to each other. And so their relationships with their friends are so positive that they kind of, so as well as being really scathing and dismissive, there's other times when you go and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to put this on or maybe this top. And they're like, oh my God, no, you look great in both or whatever. And or other times they're like, yeah, you can't wear that. You're far too old. That's like something I would wear. Or the worst insult they can give to anybody. They're like, oh my God, you look like you're trying to be a millennial. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is that a bad thing? Because I'm Gen X. I'm quite happy to look like a millennial. That's a win for me. So they don't know. I mean, you get both sides of it, but they are so funny, I find, at this age. I really love it.
Hilarious. No, you're right about the hype women. And are they following not only, you know, in their mother's footsteps as far as the love of football, but their grandfather? Are they playing? Yeah.
No, they don't play. They're both active rather than particularly sporty. So they play sport and they... My 17-year-old, not so much, because she keeps talking about the pressures of her A-levels and she hasn't really got time. And I'm like, but you need to, for your head, you need to be out. And now the weather's better, she will go out and do more. But my youngest plays a lot of sport, but, you know, not in order to be great at it, in order to just kind of go and spend time with her friends. And I sort of think, I've sort of made my peace with it. I think that's a better life skill. And certainly that's how I'm explaining it anyway. I'm like, if you get to an age where you can go off to uni or to work or go and join in a team or go and just like, I don't know, pick up a tennis racket on a local court and just kind of anything like that is just great. It's really sociable. She's doing paddle lessons, my 14-year-old, at the moment. And I'm like, that's the one. When you start work, that is going to be the way to kind of go and make friends with everybody. It's the new golf course.
It's the gateway sport now. Obviously, massive Liverpool family. And I mean, as you know, in Ireland, like it's all about Liverpool as well. Well, I could offend people by saying that, but it's largely about Liverpool.
And huge Liverpool and huge Man United, I think.
Exactly. So are you... Yeah. When you're kind of moderating things, are you able to not be biased and kind of, you know?
I don't find that very difficult.
No.
Because I think you kind of go into work mode a little bit like, I don't know, like I think we all do it naturally in different kind of social situations. There are some social situations where you go, I'm not going to swear, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do. We're all used to sort of on some level moderating our behavior certain way. So when I go into work, I go into work mode and I'm thinking, right, what's the story here rather than what do I care about? And that's maybe not the case over the 90 minutes if I'm not on air while the actual game's being played. But the minute that I'm on air, that I go into work.
That's then. It.
So it's just, it happens quite naturally now, I think.
And Kelly, something else I want to ask you before I let you go. We had Denise O'Sullivan on recently as well. And like on the show, we do a lot of, you know, speaking to women in sport and all sides of things, like people have written books and people are like yourself broadcasting in sport.
Yeah.
And I just do think that at all levels, it's so important for girls to the whole thing. It may sound cliche, but see it to believe it. And our mm-hmm. national football team has gotten a lot more coverage and attention in the last little while. And like the fact that girls know players' names now and have favorite players. And I just think all that is essential. A same from, you know, if people go, I wouldn't mind getting into broadcasting. You know, they think women can't talk about football. And you, along with a long list of other names, are proof that you have massively successful careers doing just that.
Yeah. And, I think my generation weren't we weren't trailblazers. We were definitely not the first. You know, there were women who came before us that I look at and think, my God, if they hadn't done that, then I wouldn't have had the pathway that I've had. So you've got all those women kind of clearing space. And actually, although Gabby and I are the same age, Gabby was off covering a World Cup when I was just starting. She went in really early and was really successful very early on and very high profile very early on and did it brilliantly because Gabby does everything she does brilliantly. And it's just because of people like that, you just, it makes life easier for the next person. And even if it's not in terms of profile, even if they're not visible, it just clears a little bit of the path ahead of you. And I think that's what's really important. And I don't think now, or it's certainly not my experience, that there are many girls now who think they couldn't go into a career in sports broadcasting. I don't think they think that. I think there's a lot of talk about the difficulties. There's a lot of talk about how, you know, how the challenges and how you may be treated differently if you're a woman in sport. And there's a lot of talk about that, but there's not a lot of talk about what my experience has been, which is the women I work with are my closest friends. And they're, you know, we're godmother to each other's kids and we have grown up together and we are so supportive of each other. And every group of women, every generation that I've seen come through, that's true. Everybody has their own little kind of group of friends and they're all genuinely really supportive. I'm still in a WhatsApp group where somebody has a bad day and we're all like, no, don't worry about it and you're great, and just kind of like lifting each other up and building each other up. And all of that is really important, and that is very real as well. So it's not just about, you know, I think we talk a lot about how difficult things are, but there are real positives to it as well.
Of course, yeah. Now, final question. You have said, obviously, you were here in the last time Roy Keane was on the panel, but Irish audiences are probably the best in the world. Pretty spicy, very vocal. Yeah. Are you prepared for this now, Kelly? Are you prepared?
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm all for that. I think that's much better. Otherwise, there's not much point in having a live audience. If nobody reacts and nobody gets involved, I think that's not the point. And also, then it's not directed at me, it's directed at the guys. So I can just sit back and go, tell you what, everybody's here to see what you want to do. All I'm doing is kind of pulling the strings and making sure everybody's talking at the right time.
Job.
And making sure we keep the time.
I'm going to hire headers for you, Kelly, just for you.
No. That's all. I'm fine. Thanks very much. I'm good with that.
Brilliant,
that's
though.
One of those occasions where I'm happy for them to take the spotlight.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant, though. Three Arena. And at the end of the month, I'll give out the details again. And Kelly, thank you so much for your time on Weekend Breakfast.
Thank you so much, Alison. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis. Saturday from 8 and Sunday from 9 on Today FM.